When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the podcast to be named later here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. My name is Alex Dunn. His name is Jared Krueger. Jared, how's it going, man?
It's pretty good, Alex. It's a Friday. We're recording this on a Friday night. It's about 13 till midnight, so you are getting this fresh.
13 till midnight?
Yeah, well.
We're going to Rain Man through this segment. All right, let's go.
It's all about numbers, man. You know, shout out to some of the guys I've been hanging out with lately. They're all about numbers. Between you and a longtime listener of our podcast, Ethan, thanks for always listening. But, you know, it's all about numbers. And you know, my boy Derek Jeter got inducted in the Hall of Fame this week. Say what you want about his range and WAR or whatever, but you know, 13 is the guy that almost ruined the Yankees. Alex Rodriguez.
Boy, you really just tempted me to slander A-Rod and praise Jeter instead.
Dude, I love Jeets. I will always love him. But yeah, he was the guy. He's why I'm here. He's why I love baseball. He's why I played it. He's why I wear the number two. You know, I grew up, to quote a movie, The Other Guys, but he's a biracial angel. And I truly believe that. But you know what, Alex, enough about me. Let's talk about you. You are, you know, you're Alex Stump, and you are quarantining.
Yeah, isolating. I learned there's a difference between quarantining and isolating. You isolate whenever you have the positive test. Yeah, I'm doing fine throughout all of this. Stinks.
Yeah.
Stinks, but you know, I'm feeling fine. I'm symptom free. It's just carving numbers into my wall for how many days I've been in isolation and when I'm allowed to go free again. It's weird missing a homestand. I can't remember the last time I missed a homestand, even back whenever I was freelancing for a couple years beforehand. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, man. I mean, you're always there. You practically live there. But I'm glad that things are going well for you. Obviously, I wish you the best and hope you feel better as soon as possible. You still owe me a Kerr burger, though their season is running short. We'll talk about that here in the second segment. But the show goes on even with us, you isolating, and the Pirates are at home and the Nationals are in town, and that brings back an old friend of the team and the organization, Josh Bell.
Yeah, who, you know what, went deep on Friday night. Nationals lost anyway. You know, that's about as nice of a reunion as you could hope for if you're the Pirates. Like, yeah, he shows, you know, he gets a nice moment. He gets to doff the cap. He gets the tribute video. But, you know, Pirates end up winning in pretty impressive fashion, but not to focus on the win. Just Josh Bell. Jared, I don't know if there's a better way to ask it than just this. Should Josh Bell still be a Pirate?
Well, I think the question we can turn it into, would he still be a Pirate if he would have been on this team this year? I think, you know, he's a guy that probably would have gotten traded at the deadline. Should he still be there? I mean, what are they missing? I mean, obviously, like, Moran has been injured most of the season, and it's been kind of first baseman by fire, you know, because of that. So, and, you know, coming into the season, you expect Colin Moran to be your everyday first baseman. And, you know, where's Colin Moran going to play if Josh Bell's there? And, you know, and you're eventually going to have to pay Josh Bell, but you turn him into some prospects, and here we are. He's playing for the Nationals, and, you know, it's a great thing for the Pirates. He has success, and the Pirates still win, which is something they've been doing rather well since you've been gone.
Yeah, don't remind me. I go on that Chicago trip, and it was just absolute – It was a slog. That was as bad a baseball trip as we've seen in a while. But what you're saying about Josh, I'm staying on Josh Bell. I know we'll just now that we're 9 minutes till midnight, as Jared would say.
Alex can figure out a clock. I'm so proud of him.
It's digital. For Josh Bell, they already did trade him for a couple prospects. And I'll be honest, this has been his second best year in the major leagues, and it's not even particularly close. The reason why, not to just read off WAR leaderboards or whatever, this has been the second year in his career he's ever been worth, you know, one whole WAR. This has been the second time. And even now, he's a two WAR player. He has less WAR than Hayes this season in, you know, 100, in like 40 more games. So we're talking about, oh, Hayes is having a disappointing season, but Josh Bell, the guy who was supposed to be this face of the franchise that people claimed was going to be this face of the franchise, here he is at 28 having his second best season. And even then, it's just kind of a little better than average. So I don't know. We can talk about Colin Moran. We could go down the rabbit hole with the Yoshi Tsutsugos and stuff like that, but I just think it was the end of the road for Josh Bell. And not to say that, you know, the trade was great. Like Will Crow, I've written now, I've basically just surmised, like, let's just make him a reliever. Let's see if he can pump 94, 95 and keep that, you know, good changeup going in a relief role. And Eddie Eaton is someone who probably, if he is a major leaguer, he'll be a reliever. Now, with that said, he's pumping close to triple digits, you know, as going multiple innings. He's got a good breaking pitch. I see him as a reliever, but basically the trade is for two relievers, one who is major league ready, one with higher upside, but with far lower ceiling. It's not a sexy trade, but it's the one trade along with Adam Frazier where I can't fault Ben for just taking the best offer that he was given.
No, and that's right. I mean, obviously the feature here is Eddie Yee. I mean, that's, I don't think, I mean, obviously you love the fact that Will Crow is able to come in and pitch in the majors. He's major league ready, obviously, but, and you know, he's had mixed results and I do think that he's going to be a reliever. And the same thing with Yee. I mean, you got a power fastball like that, man. You're going to be crazy out of the pen. You're going to be in good shape out of the pen. And I think that's something that's, you know, useful, especially a couple of years down the line, because he's obviously in Bradenton. So, and the Pirates have shown, obviously they've been deliberate in promoting people, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, you see that with that Greensboro team, you know, they've got the guys that probably should be a double A this year. And same thing with Altoona, you know, Cruz, if he doesn't get hurt, I think he's in triple A. Contreras, you know, G1 Bay is a guy too, that could be in triple A, but they didn't. And they just kind of just, they're not fast tracking them. There's just going through it and being very deliberate. And I think that's the important thing for them. And that's something obviously we'll probably get to here in the next segment. But yeah, I mean, you had to make this move. I mean, you're going to make it eventually. And if this is the best option on the table, you get two future relievers, one that's ready now and one that's, you know, ready in a couple of years. And, you know, you see what happens because you're not going to re-sign him. And honestly, he's a player that probably needed a fresh, a fresh outlook and a fresh new situation. And the Nationals haven't been the greatest by any means, which kind of makes some of his quotes kind of funny to begin with and wanted to go to a winner, but you know,
I don't fault him for that one. No, like people love dunking on Josh Bell for it. He didn't say that publicly. He was telling friends and his friends were the ones who blabbed. Like what is Josh Bell supposed to say?
Right.
Like no, it was kind of ridiculous to think the 2021 Nationals were going to be contenders, but you know, they were a year removed from winning a World Series. It's not that unreasonable a sentence.
No. Right. And honestly, everybody wants to win. I mean, losing is mentally exhausting. It is, no matter what area of sport, from little league to major league to everything in between. Losing is unbearably frustrating, and the amount of losing the Pirates have done with and without Josh Bell is brutal and painful and everything, you know. So yeah, I don't fault him at all either. It just kind of makes it interesting and funny to me. But you know, you wish him all the best, and he's one of the lone bright spots in a pretty dismal year for the Washington Nationals.
Yeah. And you can talk about all the losing he did in Pittsburgh, but I refer you to you again, 2020, a year where we can look back on it and laugh now, but that 2020 team, all they had to do was, you know, they finished 10 games out of a playoff spot for as bad as they were. And I'm not saying it's all on Josh Bell, but you look at the performance of a Josh Bell, and that's a couple wins right there. That's a couple games you could have swung in back in that favor. Like, probably not enough. Like, it would have taken a healthier team and like Reynolds and Newman and Bell to all, you know, get off the schneid and actually have, you know, 2019 duplicated seasons and all that type of stuff. I don't know. I have a hard time whenever a guy has one season where he was worth one full WAR in Pittsburgh and be like, boy, I'm glad I'm going to play for a contender and, you know, never won in Pittsburgh. It's like, well, there was a lot of eggs in your basket, Joshua. That's not fair, but it's kind of.
No, and obviously hindsight's 20/20. You know, sometimes greener, it's not always greener on the, or the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But you know, you go to a team and you hope for the best. You know, you look at some of the guys that came from the Astros, you know, the year after they won the World Series, and look at what they've done. And obviously some of them aren't around anymore. Jason Martin is one of them. But yeah. you know, it's just one of those situations where, yeah, you hope that these team and Joe Musgrove too, but you hope that you come back and yeah, you want to be a contender. You want to win games. You're paid to perform, and you know, wins are obviously the result that you want. Winning makes you more money. So everybody wants to win, but you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And I think a fair question is, who is closer to competing right now, the Nationals or the Pirates?
Pirates. I can't think of too many organizations that are further away from competing than the Washington Nationals. Like, even the Orioles, for as horrible abomination of baseball they are right now, they at least have, through sheer incompetency of a major league product, hoarded this great talent of minor leaguers, not even really through trades or development. It was just, you know, they always had like a top three pick, and it's like, well, so far they haven't really missed, you know, those type of guys. Maybe if a Rutschman or someone bombs, we have a different conversation. But yeah, I look at some of the teams, I have a hard time accepting anyone being further away than the Nationals. Just running through my head right here, the Cubbies are going to be bad for a while. The Diamondbacks are going to be bad for a while. Who in the American League?
Oh, the Royals, I don't think, are that great.
No, but they at least have like Witt coming up soon, and right. You know,
yeah. They still have a decent
core. And the Royals are going to do something stupid, like they're going to sign Cody Bellinger for $10 million this offseason and be like, well, it didn't work with Benintendi, it will this time.
That's right. And, you know, and Minnesota's pretty down too.
But Minnesota at least has, you know, some good players, and they've got a good player development system there. Like, this was a weird year. The Twins Twins are a weird franchise. Every once in a while, they just crap the bed, and you gotta deal with it. Yeah, and then the other year, they'll win 90-something games and lose to the Yankees in the American League Divisional Series.
Every year, it seemed like that was the early 2000s in a nutshell. It was, you know, Joe Mauer and the Twins.
It's still going on now.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And, you know, it's that, but you're right. Baseball is weird this year. You know, it's very, very streaky. The Yankees have gone on tears, both wins and losses. The Pirates have gone on a lot of losing streaks, but they've strung together a couple wins, never three in a row, but, or not necessarily three in a row, but no sweeps yet. But yeah, I mean, it's just a very streaky year. And obviously the Orioles have one of the worst losing streaks in all of baseball ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's baseball, and it's that, but that there's also trickled down to the minor leagues and just kind of the wacky season that they're having, and really that they're going to be, that's going to be finishing up here in the next few weeks.
See, we drifted. I knew we were going to drift. We did anyway. So just to put a quick bow on top of the Josh Bell situation, I'm glad he got that homer on Friday night. I'm glad he got to doff his cap and do everything. Josh Bell, for a couple years, was a big part of the Pirates, and he was a big part of Pittsburgh. Like, this was someone who really did a great job to throw and just threw himself into the community, the type of guy that you would want from it. I just have a hard time accepting a lot of, like, the face of the franchise talk.
Right, and I don't think that, you know, most of the time, that's not fair. That's not fair to a lot of people, because sometimes, you know, they don't want that. But at the same time, you know, Josh Bell handled himself with class and dignity and was a consummate pro. And if for as good as he is on the field, he's even better off of it. And I think that's really what makes him the person he is and the player that he is. I mean, he could easily have gone to Washington and in the trade and come back and nothing would have happened. But for him to get the recognition that he deserved tonight or on Friday night, I think it was well-deserved. And, you know, you wish him the best and hope the best for him. And hopefully he has a great career and hope that it all works out.
Hey, we're going to take our first commercial break. Whenever we come back, we're going to have a little bit of minor league talk. And welcome back to the podcast to be named later. Jared Krugar there, Alex Stump here. Jared, Ben Charrington did a Zoom with local media on Friday afternoon where he said there is nothing on the horizon whenever it comes to more September call-ups, people who haven't been there but maybe would want to get a call. Now, that was obviously before Brault exited Friday's game with an injury. So Ben did give himself the loophole. Well, there's always going to be some pitching that comes up, so you can count, you know, whatever's going on there. But position player wise, it kind of looks like this is more or less the group. So with the exception of maybe we'll see another pitcher or two get cycled through here before the end of the year, have these September call-ups been at all surprising? Is there anyone that you thought maybe deserved an opportunity that didn't get one?
I mean, yeah, to an extent. But they aren't as surprising as some might think. You know, we talked about Cole Tucker. This is kind of his, you know, his chance. Can he hit? Can he consistently hit? We talked about this on the podcast, and I thought we knocked that right out of the park, to use a baseball term, because this is a baseball podcast. But I mean, you maybe Jared Oliva. But if you're going to bring up Jared Oliva, you already have a Cole Tucker. So, I mean, I don't really think that they should have brought up anybody else. I mean, you're going to keep the line of pitchers open because, yeah, everybody seems to be going on the 7-day IL or 10-day IL, you know, every other day. And I think that's just them circumventing some things. And I mean, you know, I have a blister, so I'm going to go on the IL and we're going to get another guy up here and get them some opportunities and just be kind of creative about the roster. But I mean, who else would there have been in AAA? I mean, I can't think of anybody. You know, obviously, you know, the sexy picks would be Castillo because he's hot at AAA and was hot in AA, but I don't think he's ready for the major leagues yet. Nor do I think they should just rush him up there. Probably could have seen Rodolfo Castro again, but again, if you have a Tucker, there's no need for a Castro. And you know, Marcano, no, he's not ready yet. But you know, hey, it's Ben Charrington's world and we're kind of living in it as far as he's going. And I like what they did. You know, Shelby Miller, I think is not the sexiest of picks, but at the same time, it's a tryout for him. This is a tryout, maybe not for the Pirates next year, but for the rest of baseball. So, and that's what this is for the last few weeks of the season for these guys, is getting these guys the looks that they deserve and, you know, building for next year.
I'm going to preface this with saying there is no one in Indianapolis who hasn't already been up in the major leagues where I would say bang the tables or something alike for them. Like, no, even the Diego Castillo, like Rule 5 guy would have to be next year. So I could get the mindset of, well, bring him up anyway, since he has to be put on the roster anyway this offseason. And like, okay, I guess I can hear that, but like, no, he just got called up to AAA. What are we doing here? Like, I would rather see Cruz or Contreras, you know, even if it's just for like Contreras to go throw one inning, Cruz, you're only going to be used as a pinch hitter. And maybe if we had, you know, the old rules where teams could have 40-man rosters, but, you know, the league changed that. And it's down to 28, and that creates some challenges that have been well documented by this point. So I can't really think of anyone that's like, oh man, we We really needed to get Bly Madris major league at bats. Like, did Bly have a good season in AAA? Yeah. Like, if he did get selected to the roster, I wouldn't blink twice about it. But it's not like you simply cannot finish the season without getting eyes on Bly Madris.
No, and that's the thing too. Like, if you're gonna pull up some of those guys, you should play them every day, right? The guys that we're talking about.
Yeah. And which they have basically been doing. Cole Tucker has been in the lineup every day. Shelby Miller has been pitching in higher leverage situations. That's what you should do with these guys.
Right. And that, I mean, Ben Charrington said it at length multiple times. They want to challenge guys, not overwhelm them, you know? And listen, if you're going to bring up Diego Castillo, he's going to play, but who's he going to play over? You're not going to play him over Kevin Newman. You're not going to play him over Brian Hayes.
Why can't you play him over Kevin Newman though?
Listen, you can, but I don't think that they will.
I agree they won't.
Right.
But you can't say can't. You can't say can't. Kevin Newman has right now, over the course of the season, lost the can't argument for it. You can put him on the bench.
Right. And okay, and if you're
gonna hell, you could option him if you really wanted to.
Yeah. You and yeah, absolutely. But you know, and Bly Madris, are you gonna take playing time away from Brian Reynolds or Gamble or Cole Tucker or whoever do you put out in right field?
No. Alfred.
Alfred, yeah, right. And you know, I just don't see that as possible. This is kind of the antithesis of us beating the drum for Mason Martin to get called up to AAA, and you know, we have kind of egg on our face, or I'm on my face, especially, you know, pounding that drum on Young Bucks. But you know, that's they're like we talked about in the first segment, they're deliberate, they're going level by level, and I honestly don't mind it. Yeah, listen, Indianapolis is probably the least amount of fun team to watch this year, having seen them in person. So also sorry to Bradenton and Greensboro for not getting out to you. But you know, you'll find out why I said that in the third segment. But so yeah, you want to have fun for those guys to watch some of those guys play, but at the same time, keep them at their level and see them grow. But if you're going to bring up Diego Castillo, I'd much rather see O'Neill Cruz in limited action in the regular season than Diego Castillo. And that's not a knock on Castillo, but it's, hey, let's see what O'Neill Cruz can do and see what happens.
Yeah. Like I said, a couple at bats, he's on the 40 man, someone like that. I mean, with the Brault injury, maybe that makes Miguel Yajure puts him back on the menu, even if it's just going to be like, hey, you're throwing four innings and then you're done. It's a piggyback type of deal. That'd be fine. I'll be honest with you, man. I really want to see Miguel Yajure pitch in the major leagues one more time.
You've been loving that since we started podcasting this year, this season. And I don't blame you. Listen, see what you've got. And we talked about this last week. See what you got, because it's going to help them and the team next year, right? You call up a guy for the first time, it's mind-boggling. It's overwhelming at times. You know, you're not going to be a Rodolfo Castro that comes up and hits a home run in his first, and you know, for each of his first five hits. You know, there's a lot of struggles in there too, and we saw that, and that's why he's now playing every day in Altoona. And yeah, so you just listen, get them up there, see what they got, and go from there. This is for next year. This year is the end of this is building the start of the foundation and kind of clearing the ground. If you're going to build a house, but you're kind of clearing the ground here and trying to start getting pieces for your foundation for next year.
Yeah. And I will say this just to, once again, I'm going to use the put a bow on this segment, you know, say that one more time. Like we've talked about, I know Alfred is in the September call up, but he was called up in August, injured for a bit. He's kind of a September-ish call-up. Cole Tucker, definitely, again, someone who's called up technically in August, a September-ish call-up. They're getting opportunities. And, like, I'm not saying we'll get a definitive answer, but – or they'll get a definitive answer, but it is. It's that. You'll get something, you know, a little clearer of, like, how Cole Tucker's adjustments play in the major leagues – over a month. That's something good to see. I think it's a little surprising that someone like Jared Oliva isn't at least getting a look. And I think that might be telling that he might get Jason Martin off the roster, you know, once this season ends. But you also look at the outfield. So, well, Reynolds has to play every day. This is what you talked about. Anthony Alford has to play basically every day. And then you got Tsuga and Gamble, you know, in right field pretty much. It's not saying this is a stacked roster, but they kind of, I think, for the first time all season, have that opportunity lineup, for lack of a better way to say it. Like that, whenever Chavis comes back or whatever, that'll probably mix up some things again, but it's kind of like, okay, what do you got, Cole Tucker? What have you got, Anthony Alford? What have you got, Yoshi Tsutsugo? What have you... I could deal with those types of lineups for the month of September.
No, and I think, and you're absolutely right. And I think that's one of the things that people might, when you look back at the 2021 season, is that that injury to Swaggerty at the beginning of the season is probably one of the most important pieces to this year, because he's a guy that I thought was going to come in and play well in AAA and then get a call.
He was.
Yeah.
He was. Like, I would have been shocked if he was healthy, if Travis Swaggerty wasn't a Major League Baseball player by now, even by, you know, the Pirates doing, you know, promotions at a glacial pace. We would have seen, you know, yeah, Travis Swaggerty in the majors.
And probably before the All-Star break, to be perfectly honest with you. With
probably.
So, and yeah, so his injuries, you know, that's something that obviously you're not really thinking of, but that played a big part in this year in getting Alford there and Gamble and everybody else that's playing in the outfield. Because guess what? If Swaggerty comes in and plays well and stays up, one of those guys is expendable. Do you go out and get a Tsutsugo? Maybe, maybe not. Do you go out and get some of those guys? Maybe, maybe not. So, you know, hey, it happens, and that's kind of the way that it that the cookie crumbles in seasons like this. Formerly known as, well, when Alex had it, was Pirates Podcast We Named Later. When Alex and I did things, it was called Young Bucks. So September has been a month of change for everybody. And we mentioned September call-ups in the second segment. And you know what? Tomorrow, or today, I should say, Saturday, September 11th, there will be a special September call-up to PNC Park from the staff of the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network and website. That is not Alex. Alex is isolating. He is having fun pacing holes in his floor. And what that means
is... I never said it was fun.
Alex, just let me enjoy my moment of fame here. So as we talk in this podcast and we have fun here, you know, tomorrow it will be I who gets to grace the presence of the PNC Park press box. And, you know, I'm very excited to be a September call-up on this site. It's been a wild month. And... you know, it sucks that obviously I'm not going to be able to be beside one of my best friends and Alex, but I'm forever grateful for the opportunity that they've bestowed to me. And you know what? It gets me out of going to a Penn State game for the first time since 2016.
There had to have been an easier way for you just to get, you know, your call up.
You know, I probably didn't have to get into my car every home game, but yeah, you're right. It probably would have been, but you know what? I've seen Ronzi Contreras, but Rodolfo Castro, just wear out Route 22 to get to Pittsburgh this year. So I figured, you know what? I'd take the AA to Major League route myself.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. Sorry I can't be there. Rock it these next couple of days.
No, it's going to be fun. And, you know, we've got some things lined up. Obviously, I'll be there this weekend with everybody, you know, with football season kicking off. And, you know, I am not ashamed to say this after last night's game, which on Thursday, I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. Go ahead. I'm going to pause 10 seconds for booing.
You know what? The Cowboys lost on national television and became like NFC East front runners that game.
Listen, the NFC East is rough.
The least. But,
yeah, rough. They only have a football team in there. They have a football team.
Singular.
They have Giants, Eagles, and Ryan Cowboys. But my fantasy team did well, so that's a plus. But my since you know Thursday came and my team played, I get to go in and cover the Pirates this weekend, and then I'm back on Wednesday. So I'm excited for the opportunity. The last time that I was at PNC Park was to film a movie, so it's nice to be visiting the set once again, albeit in a very different setting.
You done flexing?
Alex, it's hurt so much to flex as long as I have here. So let's change the subject because I hate talking about myself. Which you wouldn't have guessed that if you listened to this entire segment.
No. Random thought. True or false? Anthony Alford would have had a better year this year if Dustin Fowler was never in the picture and he was just given the left field job. Would he have played like he has this stint in the majors all year long, or would he have still struggled in April and it would have still collapsed on him?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, is there a third option with maybe?
No, you have to do one or the other.
I would say false because everybody struggles in April. And I think the struggles that he went through in April have helped him get to where he's at today.
That's fair. I don't know. If people want to dig up old archived episodes of me back in Bradenton, I said you can't go into the season with Fowler and Alford splitting time. One of them had to be, just given the job.
I do agree with that 100%. I do think that it should have been one of them.
And boy, did that backfire spectacularly. I don't know. I would have preferred to see Alford for a whole year now, because as good as he's looked at times over these past couple weeks and how the tools are just so loud, they're so good tools. I think if the Pirates would have had a whole season to look at it, then they would know better of, okay, he could be an outfielder or not. And now instead it's going to be that weird limbo of, man, do they spend another year with this guy on the 40-man roster through this crunch going into next year is kind of the left fielder? It's going to be a little easier, I imagine, next year with Travis Swaggerty in the triple A. And if Alford just does horribly, you could be like, all right, that's we'll go with Swaggerty, whatever. But still.
No, you're right. I do think it would have been easier if it would have just been one or the other, because the platoon historically hasn't really worked. I mean, certain situations, yeah, it's okay. But how many teams have success, major success even, with a platoon, especially in the outfield? I think, you're a baseball player, right? You're a professional baseball player, major league baseball player. You should play every day. You get those everyday reps. Yeah. I probably said this countless times on this podcast, the baseball streak the record that's never going to be broken is Kyle Ripken's. You have maintenance never. Day. The bodies are different now, and the maintenance of the bodies is incredibly different. So, but my big thing is you're getting reps. You need to get those everyday reps. The platoon just does not help. I just don't think that the platoon is favorable.
I mean, platoons can work, but it can't work whenever you're throwing, whenever you're taking two lottery ticket waiver pickups and being like, you guys go and form two 1-WAR outfielders in left field.
And it's kind of like throwing a toddler into the deep end of a pool and hoping they come back up. You're throwing two in there, and is it going to sink and swim? Well, for a little bit, they're gonna stay afloat, and then a lot of times they're going to sink.
What a beautifully dark metaphor that you just threw two in there, because there's no guarantee that one drowning means the other one has any better chance of not drowning, unless they want to use that toddler as like driftwood or something. I don't know.
That's right. But so
this is a horrible episode. What has been up with these metaphors? I'm calling it here. Jared, I'm calling it here. The show's over.
Before we turn out the lights and shut the radio down and bring out the Shrek quotes or any other terrible movie quotes, I want to bring this statistic for a former pirate great. And by former pirate great, there is a significant level of sarcasm there. Although he had decent success. A relief pitcher for the Seattle Mariners is the longest active scoreless streak in the American League. Casey Sadler. 17 innings scoreless. I just wanted to bring that out there. Now, if you haven't watched the Mariners bullpen, they've been fairly lights out. They actually have two there on the list with Casey Sadler and Drew Steckenrider with 16 and a third. So good. That's good news for Casey Sadler. Obviously, he was a Pirate for an okay amount of time. But, obviously things are working out for him, and that doesn't always happen with former pirate greats. But, so, Alex, I think that's about it.
That's it.
All right. I think that's how we end on a good note. We got dark, real dark. And I think that's a little uplifting.
Jared, you have to close this out. I don't trust myself. I am muting myself in 3, 2, 1.
Alex has actually muted himself. His screen has gone dark. But we thank you, as always, for tuning in to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Please check out our other podcasts throughout the podcasting network. We've got a ton of great content coming up that's going to get you geared up for hockey with the podcast on Fifth Ave. And, you know, we just have a lot of great things going on with the podcast network, and we hope that you tune in and listen to those and give those the downloads and listens that they deserve. But for my isolated co-host, Alex Dunth, this has been Jared Prugar on the Pirates Podcast, to be named later. We'll talk to you again next week.